to take your breath out of you. Brother Moore, you feel like coming up here for a second? I don't want to rush things along. We're going to have enough time for Brother Fry, but we got a busy night tonight, so what we'll do is just we'll have the one song, and we're going to let the Yarbroughs come up in just a second.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening, please. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your blessings to us. We thank you. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We pray, God, that you'll bless the service tonight. Thank you for everyone that's come, Lord. We know many people are tired. They've had a hard day. But, Lord, folks have come to hear the word of God and to be blessed. And we pray, God, that you'll be with the preacher tonight. Pray that you'll fill him with the Holy Spirit, with power. And pray, God, that you'll give him clarity of thought and mind and give him the message that you want us to hear. Prepare our hearts, Father, and pray that we'll leave this place and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we pray, God, that you'll go with us, pray for this church, bless them, lead them, and guide them, direct them. And we love you for all that you do as we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. You can be seated. We're going to take it step by step. Lord, just move in tonight and give us a good time. If y'all ready, y'all are welcome to come up.
They're awesome.
To you, Mama.
Pull it to me.
Help her. It's stuck in there. Well, while they're playing with that, I'll go ahead and introduce us. We're the Yarbrough family. We're all members of Highland Road Baptist Church here in Danville. To go ahead and introduce us, this is Mama wrestling with the mic over here. At least we call her Mama, but you guys can call her Marie. This is my sister Gina. My sister April, and my name is Connie, and we make up the Yarbrough family. We would like to thank you guys for inviting us out to sing tonight. It's been a while since we've been out here, but it's always like coming to visit family when we come.
Yes, amen.
The first song we're going to do for you is Look For Me. Of jasper walls and bright golden avenue, as you behold all its beauty and its splendor, remember this just
there'll be so much to view after you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two. Look for me, for I will be there too. Your loved ones waiting there for so much to give. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two, look for me.
Next song we're going to do for you is Hallelujah Morning.
Yeah, it'll be a wonderful time when we get that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
When the angels gather round, the last trump of God shall sound. Heaven's last jewel set in place, His last child saved by grace. When the earth gives up her dead, the moon's colors turn to red. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more. There'll be a gathering like no other in that land beyond life's shore. There will be singing, there will be shouting, loud hosannas to the King. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more.
Yes, thank you.
When our Lord stands in the air, in His glory beyond compare, when our loved one who's gone before,
yes,
stand awaiting by the shore, when our work on earth is done, we'll await His words well done. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning,
yes,
when time shall be no more.
It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more. There'll be a gathering like no other in that land beyond life's shore. There will be singing, there will be shouting, loud hosannas to the King. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more. There'll be a gathering like no other in that land beyond life's shore. There will be singing, there will be shouting, loud hosannas to the King. It's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more. There's gonna be a hallelujah morning when time shall be no more.
Amen. Amen.
This next song we're going to do for you, if you listen to the words of it, it says, "For He knew me,
yes,
yet He loved me,
right,
when He was on the cross."
Yes.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. Make mistakes, I often say. Just come and but I'll prove some.
next song is called The Anchor Holds. And you know, when I think about this song, no matter what you're going through with and what you're having to deal with, you've got an anchor to hold on to, no matter what. And that's Jesus. And that anchor will not leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there with you until the end. We're going to do The Anchor Holds.
Said four songs, but we had a request. Do you mind if we do just one more? All right. The very first song we ever sang together at our church was a song without any music. And it's Beulah Land. And when we sung this song, this was what, 17?
About 16 years ago.
17 years ago. And we did it on a revival. It was a Wednesday night, so it wasn't a lot of people there. And Mom says, oh, come on, let's go sing. We'll sing this song. We got up and we sung this song, and I kid you not, we could hear the crickets outside and the trees chirping. It was so quiet in that church. And we come back and we sit down in our seats and we looked at Mom and we said, we will never, ever, ever do this again. All right, so Mama made us do it, but the Lord has taken care of us for the past 16 and 17 years and allowed us to do what we do for Him. And I'm honored that He allows us to have a small part in His big world.
Amen.
So I hope you will appreciate this song. It's Beulah Land.
Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my across the river where my fate will end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Good. I enjoyed that. every song had a meaning to it. You could understand every word. That's my kind of singing. Well, where's Teresa at? There she is. She's right here on the front. Let's everybody stand up. That way you can get to your wallet a little easier. If our technique guy back here can get away from his controls, we'll get him to come up and take off. See. Brother Cottle, appreciate you being here tonight. Would you ask your blessings on the offering for us? Everybody having a good time. It's been a blessing. Brother Yancey, we appreciate you bringing your crowd down here. It's good to see everybody. Even Brother Lee there, even good to see him. I mean, he stands out in the crowd, so you can't miss him. Brother Allen, you ready to bless us tonight? Brother Yancey, be praying for him as he comes up. Take your time, brother. If you got two or three, three or four.
I want to thank Teresa for giving me the opportunity to come tonight and give my testimony. I don't think everybody needs to know everything that I was doing before. I was called by the love of Jesus Christ. I was under conviction by my brother and sister, and God had prepared my heart to receive that seed that they planted in my heart, and to kind of make it short. I was working one day, and a truck driver came down, and before his feet ever hit the ground, he asked me, "Did I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior?" I told him no, and he had the kindest voice. He said, "Jesus is speaking to you through me. Yes. He loves you." Yes. Never heard it told to me like that before. And I was kind of embarrassed because he loves you, and it just pierced my heart, and I started crying. I was kind of embarrassed about it. But the Lord knew what I was going to do. He left that day, and I couldn't get it off my mind what he had told me. If somebody had told me that Taze Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witness movement, loves you, or Mohammed, Joseph Smith, Buddha, it wouldn't have meant nothing. They're dead. They can't call me. They're dead. But when he told me Jesus loved me, that meant everything.
Amen.
And I couldn't get it out of my mind what he said, Jesus loves you. And I kept thinking about it. And I said, I'm going. My son had told me about this church. And I said, I'm going down there. I want to get saved more than anything else in the world. I had never had any problem with Satan, as my friend and brother in Christ, Donnie, can tell you. I served him well. He didn't want to lose me. So he started telling me all the reasons I couldn't get saved. Those old evil, wicked spirits that had vexed my soul. You can't go down there. You'll get embarrassed. You don't know nobody down there. Don't go down there. You can't do it. You just can't do it. That Sunday morning, I put on a new suit, came down to this little church and sat right out there in that parking lot. And the battle for my soul, I knew the service started at 11 o'clock. And I got here about 10:45. And old Satan was, those old evil spirits that were vexing my soul said, you can't go in there. You'll get embarrassed. That's a lie from Satan. Because when I came in here, I didn't care who was watching me. I would have wanted to shout it to the world.
Amen.
But they kept telling me, I could hear those voices. Don't go in there. You don't know nobody in there. Wait till next week. Wait till next week. That's what Felix told Paul, a more convenient time. I didn't know that then. I didn't know what was going on. But they wanted me to wait till a more convenient time. Wait till next week. You've got all dressed up. Aren't you proud of yourself? Wait till next week. You'll be a whole lot easier next week. But the love of Jesus Christ, the most powerful force in the world, I believe,
right,
that sent him to the cross, drew me out of that truck that day.
Yes, that's right.
Old Satan lost the battle for my soul.
Yes.
Because I believe I didn't walk this aisle. That ain't what saved me. And the prayer didn't save me. But because when I got out of my truck, I believe I was saying by my manner of living, by my walk, that was my conversation, I'm going to the cross.
Right.
And when I stepped out, I got no more opposition from the enemy. Because I sincerely believe God took care of him right there.
Amen.
And he saved my soul, I believe, right there. Had
Amen.
I died,
right.
I believe I'd have gone to heaven right
That's
there.
Right.
It wasn't walking the aisle. It wasn't the prayer. But when I sat back there, the second row from the back on that side, and I came out in the aisle, and Buddy was here, Teresa, Nancy. And as they know, I came down the aisle before the invitation was over. And bitter tears of repentance for what I did to my Savior all those years. He wasn't my Savior yet. And people can, as I shared with my brother Daniel, people can tell you, it's not a feeling, but when the burden of sin was lifted off of me, it was right there in that spot where I got born again. It wasn't over there or over here. It was right there.
That's
where I got born again. And I felt that burden of sin lifted. I wanted to shout. I was over there just telling all of them, if they came up and shook hands with me, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I went home and called everybody I knew on the phone. Told them I'm saved. Was back that night. And have been in church ever since.
Amen.
And old Satan was telling me, you know, when you go back to work, what you gonna do about those filthy jokes and your filthy talk? Those men will, they'll laugh at you. But I found out after I went to work next day, as my friend Donnie can tell you, I didn't have to give up that because all that was taken away from me. Didn't have to work at it at all. And I asked Donnie, give me some radio stations that plays Christian music and preaching, because my want to's changed then. I got them off all the old country music stations. I've been on that ever since. And I just thank the Lord for saving me. And I my consuming desire now is to see how many people I can take with me to heaven. I know anything I do, nothing I can do is gonna save me. He did it all on the cross. No. I just thank him for saving my soul. I'm going to try to get through this song. I'm going to sing about a place that I was not going to, because I was headed down the road to destruction.
There's a land beyond the river. Don't you hear?
bless you, Brother Allen. As Brother Fry comes on up, we've enjoyed every bit of this. We got some friends of Faith Baptist. We don't want to forget them. All the preachers stand up for a second. Y'all give a word of testimony as Brother Fry gets prepared. Bless you. You start on this side, Brother Colin.
Love you to hear.
Don't want to forget y'all. I'm sorry, Brother Collins.
We're Fisher Family School of Alaska. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. I'm the main floor pastor of the Faith Baptist Church in Texas.
Brother Gibb?
David Powell from the Asper Court Building.
Brother Gill, you can.
March 6, 1949, I got saved, still saved,
going
to heaven
someday. Amen. Amen. Your Bibles, please, this evening to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. And while you're finding your places in God's Word, I'm honored, and I mean that from the depth of my heart, for you preachers coming tonight. And I'm honored for each church that's represented. And Timberlake, I mean, thank y'all for coming. I was just over there in April in a camp meeting. And I thought you got enough of me then. But I'm honored that you'd come out tonight.
Amen.
And Sunday, we had service here at 5. And when service was over, I said to Miss Polly, what would you like to do? She said, let's go to Timberlake. And we got over there, and we missed the song service, but we got to hear Brother Dave Peters as he presented Beam's Ministries. And I appreciate all of you. Folk from over Bethel and other places. And if I started to say every church, I'd mess up, so I'm going to stop right while I'm ahead. I enjoyed the singing tonight. Ladies, thank you for the good job. God bless you. So good to hear you sing again. I heard you at Temple back some time ago, and I appreciate you folk coming singing tonight. Then, Brother Adam, what a wonderful testimony. Then a great song there. Now, you should have been here last night. Brother James Lane and I sang last night, so you ought to have been here last night. Amen. We made our debut. No, we'd sung together before. And Brother Van, we kind of missed you around here this week. Brother Van booked me for this meeting. What was it, a year ago? Almost a year ago. And then the Lord led him to change churches. And so I kept my appointment to the fact that the church supports our ministry monthly. I usually don't go to a church without a pastor unless they support us. And if they support us, I'm obligated to go. So Faith Baptist Church is faithful to support our ministry monthly and prayerfully. I appreciate that, and so is Timberlake. Thank you for supporting our church financially and prayerfully. God bless you for that. We have, it's kind of been different here. This week I've kind of been pastor and evangelist, right, Brother Billy? Kind of been both of them there. But anyway, it's good to see all of you, and I'm honored that you'd come tonight. Then I got to thinking about every song tonight that was sung. Every song tonight was sung is talking about heaven.
Yes.
That God's made it possible for us to go to heaven.
Yes.
And then this ran through my mind.
that even though we got different churches here, this church is in, now seeking for a pastor, but this may be the last time that we'll congregate together on this side. We could be going to our real home. Did you know that?
Yes.
Could be going to our real home. I'm honored to have my wife, Miss Polly, with me this week, and I appreciate her putting up with me for 64 years. Now, since I seen some of you folk last over Timberlake, I was there in April, and this will take a moment. Usually, if you preach every night, you've got to say something because you just can't get up, and you got to get your vocal cords where you can go. But when I was there, my wife and I, and then I went on to Fredericksburg, and she went home. I went north, she went south. And on Wednesday morning, I'm standing in the living room of our motor coach out here, and something happened. I had a lightning strike. Not a cloud in the sky, no rain, no thunder, nothing. And I learned that you can get a lightning strike 50 miles away. And so it knocked out $5,800 in our motor home. But you know God is on the throne. And it's been a little bit difficult for us. I've had to live in the homes with preachers and drive miles ordinarily would not have had to drive. But I've been able to keep all my appointments. This is our first week back in our home now in 5 weeks, and we're enjoying it. And so I appreciate what God's done for us. But I got to tell you this. Our Heavenly Father, it pays to be prayed up. It pays to be prayed up. I say this often. Don't wait till you get in trouble to pray. Don't use God like a spare tire. Stay prayed up. So when we brought the motorhome into Colfax for them to fix it, and the technician said to me, he said, I think your insurance will pay for this. But I said, sir, last July my extended insurance warranty ran out. And I don't have that insurance anymore. Oh, he said, I'm not talking about that. You got liability, haven't you? And I said, I certainly have. He said, well, then you've got comprehensive. He said, I'm almost positive it'll take care of it. He said, you call your insurance man. And so I called my insurance man. They sent out an adjuster. And they paid everything with $1,500. God's on the throne, isn't he? And then my home church sent me $1,000 where we're members. Amen. Well, they got down to $500. And then I don't know, I'm not giving a commercial for Bank of America now. But I do use one of their cars because I travel and I burn a lot of fuel. When you fill up this thing out here, it's around $400 or $500 to fill that up. And so the other day I called them and I had like 29,000 reward points. And I thought only I could get magazines for those things. I did not know you could redeem that for cash. And I said, are these points any good? Can I use them for something other than magazines? The lady said, well, Mr. Fry, right now you got $250 in cash if you want it in these rewards. Isn't God good? So I got it down to $250. I just thought I'd just shout with it on that this evening, got it down to $250. But God takes care of us. Even though we have these problems, I'm glad it's not my tithe. I'm glad I tithe faithfully, and I can say that some people, because they don't tithe, they get in trouble. And so you know when God's judging you, when he's chastising you. But I'm an evangelist. My wife and I, we tithe in our home church. We also support missions in our home church. I just wanted you to know that tonight. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve him. Would you stand, please, this evening as we read the Word of God together? And as we're standing again, it's good to see my friend, Brother Roy Newton, he and his dear wife. Oh, we've been friends for many years. Brother Gil Hawks and I have been friends for many years. He has two brothers that follows me all across the country to preach. They even go down to Florida, 500 miles when I'm down there. And thank God for you. Brother Moore, we've known each other for years. Brother Walter, used to come down to camp meeting and bring people just like you. I mean, loads of them, didn't you, Brother Walter? We had a time in the Lord. All right, in John chapter 14, beginning here at verses number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus, and realizing, my Father, at the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess He's Christ, the Lord of glory. Now, Father, this evening I want to thank you for the day that you saved me. And then thank you, Lord, for that day that you called me to preach, counting me faithfully, placing me in the ministry. And I thank you for the years that I've been able to travel and preach for you. And Father, this evening I stand before this waiting congregation and before you and needing your help tonight. Lord, would you give me holy unction as I preach thy word this evening? And Father, I do pray that you'd bless every visitor that's in our audience this evening. And I pray that you'd bless every member of Faith Baptist Church. Then every preacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist, I pray for them. And then, Father, I pray that you'll send a man here to under-shepherd this church. Now again, I pray that you'd save souls, give revival in these closing days of grace, and get glory to thyself. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in reverence to the written word of God and prayer time. I want to preach this evening on this thought: will heaven be worth it? Will heaven be worth it? I suppose, by the way of introduction, I suppose everyone in this room believes in heaven. So I would imagine that we are all longing to go there someday. And the thought of there being a better place for the saints of God to live after their time on earth, as in it has cheered the hearts of God's people for thousands of years. Even Abraham, who lived some 3,500 years ago, longed to go to heaven when he died. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through verse number 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should offer, after received for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him are the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And so Abraham said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham caught a glimpse of that city and said, it's worth it. It's worth leaving home. It's worth leaving family. It's worth being a stranger and a pilgrim. It's worth hardship and pain. Heaven is surely worth it all. And then Simon Peter had a little insight into the inheritance that awaits every child of God in heaven. And he wrote about it in the book of 1 Peter here, chapter number 1, and verses 3 through verses number 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, notice now, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then Simon Peter caught a glimpse of heaven, and he said, It's worth a total change of my life. It's worth the hardship I have endured. It's worth more than my very life. Heaven is surely worth it all. And then on the Isles of Patmos, the Apostle John received a clear revelation of what that city looked like and all the glories that it contains. And so he wrote extensively about heaven in Revelation chapter 7 and verses 21 through verses number 22. Notice what the Bible tells now. And John saw, and he said, it's worth it. It's worth being exiled from home, from family and friends. It's worth the loneliness, the pain, the suffering, and the high cost I have been called to pay. I have seen that city, and heaven will surely be worth it all, John said. Yes. Then again, Paul describes an amazing experience that he had in which he was caught up into the third heaven, or the very rim of God. Paul was carried away into that celestial city of God and saw things that he was not allowed to repeat The Bible talks about this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the first 10 verses, oh, it is not expedient for me, now that he said, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell. Without the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one, and called up, he said, into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And notice now what he said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above me. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, he said, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Amen. And then that one vision of heaven was enough to strengthen Paul as he faced so many trials that came his way. Then again, by the way of illustration, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses number 22 through 32, Paul saw that city and he said, heaven is worth all the pain that comes my way. It's worth the hatred. It's worth the persecution. It's worth the sorrow and the attacks that I have seen that city. And heaven is surely worth it all. And so the fact is that we don't have a whole lot of information about heaven. The Bible gives us just enough information to whet our appetites for that city. And so we find the odd part is this. While we do not know a whole lot about heaven, there's a desire within every single child of God to go there. That's amazing. We have so little information about heaven, but yet when God saves you, he puts that desire to go to that place. Since the day that God saved me, since the day that God saved you, God has placed that desire in my heart to go there one day. Again, we come to faith in Jesus. He changes our lives. Immediately, listen, the battle begins. We fight battles with the flesh, the world, and the devil. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. But we never stop heading toward heaven. When the Lord saved us, he placed within us a desire to be with him one day. And so you know what we do? We walk on. And then we fight. We rejoice. We suffer. We win. We lose. We stumble and fall. And yet we get up and go again. All because we like those great saints that I mentioned just a few moments ago, heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen. Or we've caught a glimpse of a palace that we have never seen. And we want to be there more than we want to be here. Again, we find here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the first 8 verses here, for we know that if our earth, the house of this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, saying we'd rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. So I want to look into these familiar words from our Lord this evening. I want to preach around the question, will heaven be worth it? Now, first of all, we find, consider the place that's called heaven in verses number 1 and verses number 2. The Bible said it is a special place. Now, Jesus calls heaven my Father's house. Now, heaven is a special because it's a place where God dwells. Let me say, it's a place like that. Listen, it would have to be a place like heaven
would have to be holy, would have to be filled with glory, would have to be a place of peace, a place of blessings and joy, would have to be a place of love. Just thinking about a place like that is enough to make me want to go there. After Paul saw that place near the end of his life, he said this about his approaching death, heaven, and his desire to go there. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verses 21 through verses number 23, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt you, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, he said, which is far better. Now think about this, a phrase far better. Philippians chapter 1 and verses number 23 literally means very much better. I find number 3, it's a splendid place. Jesus said, notice what he said, that is all his Father's house. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah. Yet this now, the word mansion refers to a dwelling place, an abode or staying place. So this word can refer to a room. But the idea of a dwelling place in the Father's house brings to mind far more than just a room. It's a mansion. And the Father's house speaks that nothing in this world can compare to it. Now, I have never been there, but I'm in the journey. I'm traveling that way. Let me give you this testimony. Some of you have heard this testimony, and I'll give it again because it goes good with this message I'm preaching tonight. Back some years ago, I ran 22 weeks of meetings for a man in Richmond, Virginia. The first time I went there, he met me in the church parking lot. He said, now, Brother Fry, he said, my wife and I live in 3 rooms in the church, in classrooms, Sunday school classroom. We have nowhere to live. I'm going to put you in the best motel that we can afford, but it's not going to be much. Oh, he was not exaggerating at all. He took me to that motel. In that motel, you're talking about bugs and roaches. To me, seemingly, this is a little exaggeration now, you could have put a saddle on them and ride them. And I'd go back week and year after year, preach for this brother. And so when I was there the 22nd time, he said, now, Brother Fry, he said, I'm not going to book you back. He said, I've been telling you, when I get my inheritance, I'm going to build me a house like you've never seen before. And I'm going to build you a room on my house. And I'm not going to book you back until I get my house built and get your room built. A year went by, over a year and a half went by, almost 2 years has gone by. We have been in touch by phone. Then he called me. He said, Brother Fry, I have no idea where you are, but I'd like to book you for a meeting. I've got my house done, and I've got your room finished. That excited me, and I gave him a date. And I remember leaving Lexington 5.5 hours to his church. I hardly remember those 5.5 hours. You know why? Thanking God I did not have to go back to that rundown motel room. This preacher has built a new house. He's got me a room built. He said, it's like nothing I have never seen before. And so I went on to the church. And that night, I cannot tell you what I preached about. I was excited about that house. I was excited about that room. And then after service, he said, follow me over to the house. I got my car and I followed him over to the house. We pulled up in the driveway. And I seen this house, 3-door garage. To me, it seemed like it covered a city block. I never seen such a house. We went in this entrance right here. When we went in, on the right, he said, this is my utility room. I never seen one like that. And then on the left, he says, my property's quarters. I never seen nothing like that. Went down a hallway. He said, this is my breakfast nook. I'm an old plowboy preacher. What in this world is a breakfast nook? I didn't know this until the other night, and the lady told me what it was. And so, you know what? It took me to the left, to the dining area. And I counted 24 sittings. I counted the chandelier hanging in the center of that dining room table. We went to the living room. But you know, all the things that I am seeing is not an interest to me. I'm looking for one place. I'm looking for one place. I'm looking for my room. Finally, after giving me a tour of the house, we got to this room, and the door was closed. He said, now this is your room. And so he opened this door, and I got in the doorway. it was did in blue. When I stepped through that doorway, it reminded me of God's glory. As if I just stepped up in midair. I'd never seen a room like that in all of my days. Then he said, I want you to lay down across that bed. Lay down across that bed. I never laid on anything like that. He said, Brother Fry, we paid $3,000 for that mattress you're going to sleep on tonight. I thought within myself, oh boy, you've come a long ways from a straw tick to a $3,000 mattress. Laid down across that bed. And then he got him, he showed me my bathroom, bigger than our living room in the house we live in. And then he said, this is yours. It was done in blue. Then we went back to that breakfast nook and had a lasagna. Then went to bed that night, and sometime during the night, I was wakened. Someone was in my room singing Amazing Grace. I thought I'd done died and gone to heaven. He got up during the night and had an intercom system throughout that house. He played that song early in the morning hours to me. Now let me say, ladies and gentlemen, that's as close as I've ever been to a mansion. I've ever been in a mansion. And all the houses I've seen would be no comparison to what Jesus is talking about here. Will heaven be worth it all? My friend had inherited $5 million. Then last week I learned what a breakfast nook was. A lady told me, she said, that's the place when you got a big dining room. You got all the rooms that you need. But you got that little place, one little table and two settings where you and your husband sit down and have breakfast every morning. That's a breakfast nook. Well, I tell you, we don't have one. We have a den. Most of the time we have our breakfast in, unless we're in that motorhome out there. But anyway, let me get back to preaching now. When John described the city he saw in Revelation 21, he wrote about a city so grand that it defies description. We find in verses 11 through 14 the distinction of that city. Heaven is lit by the glory of God himself. And then John described the city as being a jasper stone. And so the jasper stone is what we call a diamond today. The city will be like a great diamond in appearance as it reflects the light of the glory of God. Can you imagine one day, child of God, that we're going to live in a place, remind us of a diamond living on a diamond? Isn't that great? Will heaven be worth it? Again, the Bible teaches us, number four, it's a safe place. Jesus said to his men, let not your heart be troubled. This is just a reminder that heaven will be a place of peace for the people of God. None of the many afflictions of earth can, listen, will touch us in glory. Isn't that wonderful? All the bodily affliction that you have now and all the conflict that you have will not follow us to heaven one day. Will not touch us over yonder. Will heaven be worth it all? It's going to be worth it all. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No one will die, no hearts will break, no one will weep, no one will hurt, no one will have to work and strive just to make it in this world. Every saint of God will enjoy the perfection of that city, along with the presence of the Savior and the Father. All this is enough to make me want to go there and more. And so first of all, consider the place it called heaven. Number two, consider the population of heaven. We find the sovereign God will be there. Heaven is the Father's house. And he will be there one day. We'll be with God in his house. And we'll see him there as he is. Yes. I've never seen him. We look through a glass which is now darkened, but one day shall be arrayed, and we shall see him face to face, some golden day. But will heaven be worth it all? It will be worth it all, ladies and gentlemen, one day. Again, the Bible said in Revelation 22 and verses 3 and 4, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So this was Job's hope. This is what Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reign shall be consumed within me. And Job saying, this is my hope. Thank God, this is my hope tonight. To see the Father one day. Not a dead hope, but a living hope that Christ gave me at Calvary when I accepted what he did for me. Amen. Then again, we find in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, beloved, now are with the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One day we're going to have a body just like him. One day we're going to look just like him. We're going to get a body that will never get tired, never get old, and never wear out. Hallelujah. Is heaven worth it? It's going to be worth it all. The Son of God will be there. Let me say, Jesus said, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The redeemed saints of God will spend eternity with the very Lord who paid the price for their redemption when he died on the old rugged cross. When I look at this word redemption, I'm reminded of what Jesus did for me, what he did for you 2,000 years ago. Amen. Since the fall of man, back in the Garden of Eden, man had walked away from God. It's always been the blood. And I preached this last night, and it's still the blood. In Old Testament days, let me tell you, those little innocent animals were killed, put upon the altar to sacrifice the blood. But it amounted to no avail. They did it every year. Every year. But 2,000 years ago, nobody made Jesus come voluntarily. He stepped from the ranks, came into this world to pay the sin price and to pay it in full. We was on the slave block of sin and could not get off. But he came and paid that price to redeem us all back to God with his precious blood. Thank God for that. It cost God something. Oh, let me tell you, Jesus paid that price to buy back what rightly belonged to God. Then I must go on. Then again, the Bible tells us the saints of God will be there. Jesus said that where I am, there you may be also. So the saints of God from the Old Testament will be there. The saints of God from the New Testament will be there. The saints of God from the church age will be there. Our redeemed loved ones will be there. Friends and families will all join us in that land someday. Not a single redeemed saint of God will be missing. Not a seat at the table in glory will be empty. Every seat will be taken. Isn't that something? In the church down here, all we pray and we beg and try to get people to come to take their place in the church, but many times the pews are empty. The seats are empty. But in heaven, everybody will be present that say, God will not leave one of his children behind. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Will heaven be worth it? Again, the Bible teaches us. We find here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verses 13 through verse number 18, it speaks about how that this will take place. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Notice now. Oh, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Who said that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Notice now. With the shout of the fourth archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Then again, these two reasons are more than enough for me to cause me to want to go to heaven. But there's more. Consider the place called heaven. Consider the population. Then thirdly, consider the promise connected with heaven. We find here, first of all, there's a promise of rest. He said, let not your heart be troubled. When the Lord speaks about that heavenly home, he's indicating that it will be a place free from the troubles of this life. So we've already talked about this, but the fact is, in heaven, we will rest from our labors. So here's a promise that we find in Revelation chapter 14 and verses number 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. One day we'll gather and sing our last song. One day we'll gather in a congregation like this and shake each other's hand on this side for the last time. Preacher, we'll gather one day and preach our last message on this side. And we're going home. Will heaven be worth it all? So we find the word rest means to stop. The word labors carries the idea of trouble. It literally means a beating. It tells us that our Christian life will be a life of exhausting work as we strive to serve the Lord. It's not always easy to work for the Lord. Sometimes your labors are unappreciated. You labor for the Lord day and night. You serve God. It seems like when the day ends that nobody appreciates what you've done. But I'm glad we serve a God tonight. Now, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always remember that. One day he shall reward you and I for our faithful service to him. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we labor all while sometimes you're misunderstood. Sometimes you give everything you have and it appears to accomplish nothing. Yet you labor on because you want to honor the Lord with your life. You labor on because you know it's the right thing to do. You labor on because you know something better is waiting down the road. You labor on because you know that heaven awaits. You labor on because you know there's a place of rest. And so let us labor for him while we can, so that when we meet him, we will hear him say in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be unappreciated here, but there's one who's watching. Amen. There's one who's looking over us. Yes. And one day, because we've been faithful to stick by the stuff and stand in the gap, he said, "Now you've been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to make you ruler over many." Amen. Then again, we find the promise here of rescue. Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." When that rescue comes, let me say, and we leave this world, none of the evils that trouble us here will be allowed to follow us there. Listen to his promise in Revelation 21:27. "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh the abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Then here's another promise, ladies and gentlemen, promise of reunion. Jesus made this promise to his people, that where I am, there you may be also. We will be with him, and that will be heaven for me. Just to be with him, that will be heaven. Will heaven be worth it? By the way, not only will we, listen, be with him, but we will also be like him. Not just be with him, but like him. We will receive new bodies. And the Bible said, and we will be changed. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15:51-54, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And listen, we shall be changed. For this corrupt must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corrupt shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting?" As I conclude, I think heaven would be worth it all, don't you?
Yes, sir.
There's a song that we sing from time to time. I can't sing like this ladies right here, this family. I can't sing like Brother Allen, like Brother James, but I can read the songs all. And I like this song right here. "Often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many of the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may hear Paul. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all." Then the songwriter says, "Toiling in pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all." Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall after this life, with all of his strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. A few weeks ago, I'm up in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm at the Jordan Baptist Church. And I preach in several churches in the area during the year in Lynchburg. And when I'm in that area, I call. When I come through Danville, I try to get a hold of Brother Roy, but here lately I can't get a hold of him. I call Brother Walter. And I call Brother Gill along the way. But anyway, when I got to Lynchburg on Monday morning, I called Brother Scott Dean, and I called Brother Terry Cook. I'm going to talk to Brother Wayne Green. who's been pastor of Clearview Baptist Church for 30-some years. And that morning when Brother Terry answered the phone, I could tell something was wrong. I said, "What's wrong, Brother Terry?" He said, "Just a few moments ago, Sister Rebecca passed over on the other side. She went to be with the Lord. She got out of the hospital. She had some stents put in. She was in church on Sunday night, and she sang." They said they never heard Sister Rebecca sing like that before. And she was a great pianist, and she played the song, "I'm Telling This World Goodbye." And that song she played on Sunday night, on Monday morning, she stepped over on the other side. We never know when God's going to call us home. Never know. Never know. But I'm here to tell you, as I preach tonight, will heaven be worth it all? It surely will be. It'll be worth it all. For almost 60 years, church, I've been traveling this journey. I'm not discouraged. Some has fallen out of the race. Some fainted by the wayside. But thank God, a few like us are still pressing on.
Amen,
why? Because we know that heaven is going to be worth it all.
Yes,
would you stand all over the church, please, while every head is bowed, every eyes closed? Brother Buddy's going to come. Sister Teresa's going to come with our invitation. My Heavenly Father, thank you for moments together. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit's presence in the service tonight. Again, I thank you for the music and the singing, and our hearts have been blessed. Lord, we've been blessed with the presence of this congregation this evening. Visitors and members, we're so blessed to have them here this evening. Now, Father, I pray that the Word of God has found its lodging place in the heart of the hearer. Save souls tonight and bring those to the altar that needs to come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Buddy?
125, Jesus paid it all. 125.
125. Listen now. If there's one you feel in your heart you need to come to kneel around an old-fashioned altar, you come tonight. You come tonight. If you play soft in just a moment, we'll have another stanza. As Brother Allen testified a while ago, every time I hear someone give their testimony of where they was and how they heard, then God saved him, it thrills my heart. I shall never forget, at the age of 11 in a Methodist church, my parents were not saved, was not raised in a Christian home, and Sunday school is so important to go to Sunday school. No preacher there in that Methodist church. He only came by about every 3 months. But this godly lady stood with a Bible in her hand. In those days, you had to work what kind of Bible. It was only one kind. She read about Jesus who went to Calvary and died for sinners, and died for little boys and girls. I never forgot that. Walked up that dirt road barefooted. Said, "Someday I hope I'll tell somebody what that lady told me today." 11 years old. Then Miss Potter and I got married, and one Sunday morning, very old, she's 16, I'm 17, done married now. No, we weren't in trouble. We were in love, we thought, and we still think we are. And I had the radio on, and I heard again, by the way of radio, that Jesus died for you. Then, shortly thereafter, we went to church and heard the man of God preach, and I got saved on my third time hearing the gospel. But I should never heard it but one time, but God allowed me to hear it three times, and I got saved. What a blessed day. Did you know, church, that's fresh in my heart tonight, as if it was back almost 60 years ago. It never gets old. As we sing this song, verbatim tonight,
Brother Buddy, all the verses.
Just listen to the words we're saying. Jesus paid it all.
Will you? Okay.
Yes.
Answered prayer. It's been a good time tonight. A good number of people. Thankful for all of you that's come out tonight, but thankful for the Lord that's met with us tonight. It's been a good spirit here tonight. Appreciate everybody coming, every one of you. Appreciate y'all being here. Same time, same station tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Looking forward to another message from Brother Fry and some good singing. And then the highlight of the night will be the Lord meeting with us again. God bless you.